that God said it is finished, and the day that God the Son said it was finished, both fell on the Sabbath day.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
Thanks for joining us at the Hope of Our Calling. Let's get started in our study of Ephesians.
We are in Genesis chapter 2. Last week we talked about God's authority, God's order. It was all about the Lord. It was all about his sovereignty, his ability to create out of nothing. And just the exhortation to remember we're the created ones and he is the creator. And the glorious part of that is we get to sit in the passenger seat and be taken on this glorious, amazing, wonderful, magnificent adventure with him. Again, our acronym is FAITH, Fabulous Adventures in Trusting Him, right? Okay, so let's get started. Genesis chapter 2, actually, we got to back up one verse because that's really where this section starts. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Notice that we have previously seen God making the profession that it was good. It was good. But now he's stating it was very good. There is a theory out there that professes that man was made from primordial soup or from animal kingdom. There are even too many that have brought this into our theology, escaping the authority of God's word, which we have no authority to do, because when we have God's word, we need to use God's word, and where God's word is silent, we need to be careful that we don't be uncomfortable with that silence and insert our own understanding. So man's theory interjects or professes that in between these days, there was this dynasty of dinosaurs, and millions and millions of years ago, we have nothing in God's word that accredits that theory. And when we do find something, if we dig up a dinosaur or look at stratosphere or whatever, they've actually found cancer within dinosaur bones. They have determined that dinosaurs killed. And the fact that we're actually digging up dinosaurs, and according to their theory, which falls prior to man being created, we're having to wrestle that to the ground and say, look, what you're saying is that death entered the cycle before man's sin. And yet in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death did not happen in between. God said it was very good. He's not a monster that would profess death to be very good. Verse 1, chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. There's three things that we need to look at in these four verses: finish, rested, and sanctified. Take note that verse 1 says, were finished. The heavens and the earth and the hosts of them, the angels, were finished. God no longer was going to be creating anything upon the earth or in the heavens. It was finished. So let us look at these four verses. There's three things that I really want to point out. God said that it's finished. He said that he rested. And he said that he sanctified. So let's take a look at those three. First one, finished. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them, angels and the principalities in the heaven, all were finished. Things will change with the corrupted DNA, the corruption that came about from the fall of Adam and Eve, and the curse that fell upon the earth, which we'll study about in the later chapters. But God is done creating. Nothing more is being created. But I love that he provided everything that we need for life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." God has given us everything that we need for life here on earth, but also for godliness, for us to understand righteousness, for us to come to understand that we are called to be holy as he is holy. And I love the part that the Bible says that God is our ever-present help in time of need. Now, also, we're going to take a look at on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. But if God is omnipotent or all-powerful, why does he need to be refreshed? God is not resting in order to refresh himself. God is setting an order for mankind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace," or in the Hebrew, shalom, which means rest. God is a God of order. He's giving us the order for our lives. The work of creation is finished. The work of redemption now begins, but would eventually also testify to being finished. We saw that on the cross when Christ said, "Tetelestai," it is finished. So creation has finished. Redemption has begun. And one really amazing, beautiful thing, the day that God said it is finished and the day that God the Son said it was finished, both fell on the Sabbath day, the day of rest. The third word we want to look at is the word sanctified. Verse 3, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." This is the history. So when we look at the word sanctified, in the Hebrew that word is kadosh. It's so beautiful. It means to consecrate or sanctify, to be hallowed or holy, to be set apart, to be pure and clean. And as you study through the Old Testament, you see that. You see how God is making himself known to the Hebrew people. And he calls them a special people because they were to know God. Just like in the New Testament, we get to know the full story from Genesis to Revelation. We get to know the true and living God. When we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them," which immediately draws my mind to John chapter 17, where it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Remember what that word means. It means to be holy. It means to be set apart, to be pure, and to be clean. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, referencing husbands and wives and Christ in the church, it says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And one last one, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This word sanctified is so vital, so important, such a theme throughout Scripture. God created man to have fellowship with him. We can't have fellowship with a holy God when we practice unholiness, which is we practice rebellion from the Creator. But yet God gives us the entirety of Scripture to teach us about his desire to sanctify. Sanctify a day for us to focus on him, to rest our bodies from labor and work, and turn our full attention upon the provider of all that we need for life and godliness. Before the foundation of the world, God, the Trinity, Elohim, has been at work to create for himself a beautiful bride, a glorious church that one day will rule and reign with him. Seems like a good reason to be willing to sanctify ourselves away from this worldly system at least once a week, as he sanctified that day in the very beginning. Second part of verse 4 in Genesis. In the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, or before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. God is giving us a description of what the condition of the world was prior to him creating Adam. It was like a terrarium. It was enclosed. It had a canopy of mists and fogs with springs bubbling up from the ground. There was no such thing as rain as we know it at that time. That didn't happen until Noah. You have to understand there's a Hebrew way of writing, which is to make a statement and then go back and fill in the details. And that's what we've been experiencing here. Verse 7, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now, remember what I just said. So we've been told the story, and we finally got to the point where we started, where God finished and God rested and God sanctified. Now we're going to get some more details. And here we find the detail of God's creating mankind. He formed man from the dust of the earth, the same ground and dust that he formed every living thing from, the plants, the herbs, everything, the animals. Scientists, biologists have already determined that our bodies actually contain the same minerals and components that the earth does. But this creation is very special. This creation is going to be very, very intimate. God is going to get himself involved with it. He is going to not only form man from the dust of the earth, but he's also going to energize man with the breath of God, that we might be made in God's image. God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and he became a living being. Now, perhaps everything else was already created. the lungs, the bones, the organs, all the systems that were needed. But it needed the breath of God to activate the system. God is the giver of life. And he breathed in the breath of life, and man became a living being, meaning he had a living soul, or as the Hebrew word is, nephesh. He had a consciousness, a mind, an emotion. In 1 Corinthians, it's written that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first man was Adam. The second man, or Adam, was Christ, who quickens, who gives the power of life again to mankind. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." You see, true life is found in Christ. It's not found in any other. At this point in creation, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And then you have mankind, the body, the mind, and the spirit. And the unity they have is the spirit, God's breath of life within mankind. However, in the next chapter, we'll see how rebellion severed that unity and mankind until Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and offered that resurrection to us, was separated from God, didn't have the grace to be able to walk boldly before his throne of grace and mercy, but had to continually, year by year, come and make sacrifices to atone for the sin that separates him. But if you read in Hebrews 10, Christ did that once and for all. No sacrifices, no more need to be made. He is currently sitting at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, once again, we hear, "It is finished." I love when you study scripture and you've got the full counsel of God's word in your heart, and all of a sudden these things erupt that just bless you because all of the pieces start to come together and you see God's magnificent plan, magnificent love and compassion for us. All right, so let's get back to the garden. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The garden was specifically and specially made and prepared for Adam for a home. The word Eden means pleasure. God made every tree pleasant and provisional. Adam wanted for nothing. Adam's first knowledge of his creator was of the one who loved him and carefully and abundantly provided everything for him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Therefore, do not be like them," meaning the world, "striving for everything. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask." Our fellowship as believers in Christ, in believing of his atoning blood that takes away our sin and allows us that full access to God, is knowing that he's constantly here waiting to hear from us. We need to bring everything to him, our questions, our pondering, our struggles, because he wants and desires to care for us. In the midst were two very special important trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, speaking of after the rebellion of Adam, it says, "Then God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." Now, I love scripture, as I said, from Genesis to Revelation. So let's go to the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. It says, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nation. I love this because we're going to have an interruption that comes with Noah, where the whole world is going to be transformed. And this tree of life and this Garden of Eden will be tossed apart, torn apart. The whole world will be torn apart. It won't exist anymore. Yet in the new heaven and new earth, in the new Jerusalem, we're going to once again see this tree of life restored. Or again, I don't know how God brings it about again. He's God, I'm not. I leave that to him. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, whether there was something harmful in the fruit itself or not, it would certainly become a tree of knowing evil as soon as man disobeyed God's word concerning it. He would now know evil experientially, or as the Greeks say, by gnosko. He already knew good. God had provided every single thing he had need of. The breaking of fellowship with God would cut him or anyone off from the life that had its source only in God. God is the God that gives good gifts. God, again, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To be separated from Christ, to forsake Christ, to turn your back to him, however you want to classify it, to shut Christ out. You are shutting out life. You are shutting out the one who came to restore us into that holy, sanctified relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the maker of heaven and earth, whose powerful spirit dwells within every believer. To shut that out is folly to your own demise. Do you know that it says that for those that reject Christ will be cast into outer darkness, meaning they'll be completely separated from the light of truth because that's what they've chosen. But the word says there'll be gnashing of teeth in that, and it indicates that there will be this state of, my goodness, I heard, why didn't I listen? There'll be this frustrated, permanent frustration of, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I receive the good news that I could be clean, holy, set apart, sanctified? Verse 10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold in that land is good. Bedlam and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Now keep in mind what I just said. When the flood happened, when the entire globe was covered in water. It was covered in water because the waters came from the heavens and it also erupted from the ground, meaning the tectonic plates or the continental drifts or whatever you want to call it, everything shifted. So these rivers where there and lands where there is gold and onyx and bedlam, you'd be really hard pressed to find it today. Now keep in mind, God is the creator and we are the created. When we are in scripture and there are things that we don't understand or confuse us or confound us, it's not God that's wrong. It's us that are still uneducated on that point. I've been walking with the Lord now for over 20 years and I am still growing, and I'm growing with a fever now because I have so much more understanding. That's why in Psalms where it says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you," that sin means that I won't rebel against you. I won't do what it is that you don't want me to do, because your desire for me is life. God's desire for us is life. The fact that he created us tells us how important we are to him, to his will, to his plan. All things that are happening and have happened and will happen are part of that plan. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." God gave man the joy of interacting with creation. Ask any gardener the joy of tending a garden. We're going to hold off and spend more time on this next week. As you can see, Genesis is so full of revelation, so full of beginnings we need to understand. It is the foundation of our faith. See you next week.
For more information about Hope of Our Calling, go to hopeofourcalling.org or email Kendra at kendramartinministries@gmail.com.